Amen. Good to be here again tonight. Appreciate what God's been doing in the services. I'm so glad to get to be Brother Charles again. And he thrills me in his way of doing. They was at our house one time, and I showed him, showing everybody that was there, the guns that I had in the safe. And he picked up a bull barrel 10-22 target gun. And he said, in his spirit, he said, "Now, if I was had to pick a gun, this is the one I'd take right here." So the Lord heard that, and I did. So when they got ready to leave the next morning, I said, "This is what you was asking for." He said, "I didn't say that out loud." No, but the Lord heard. Amen. You know, sometimes the Lord's just good to us and just gives us things we want. Amen. Not just things we need, but we want. Amen. And it's so good to see everybody here. Brother David Horton was and is responsible, I don't know if that's good or bad, for introducing me to the Richlands area. He brought me here, and so we've been friends ever since. We're so glad to be in this meeting, and I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a pulpiteer like these men are. I can't tell you anything that I don't hear. I can't preach to you. I've never learned how to outline a sermon. Some of you know that for 2 weeks before this meeting, I was sick, down, flat. But I knew I was going to be all right in the end if I could take it. Because during that sickness, one day, the Lord spoke to me. I was over in West Virginia, and it wasn't delirious fever, but I was over in West Virginia coming down 77, and there's a sign over there that says, "The last exit before you pay the toll." And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Somebody in this meeting need to be told, if you pass this exit, you're going to start paying the toll, and you ain't ready. You don't imagine what it will be." Amen. Amen. Well, I want to apologize right offhand tonight to whoever's writing the title of these messages down. I was glad of what Brother Savage said today. Just take your choice. Our text tonight for a place to start is going to be Jeremiah chapter number 31. Jeremiah chapter number 31. And I want to read verses 1 through 4. I want to start to say this is a very familiar scripture. But if you've been saved very long, this whole book ought to be a very familiar scripture. Jeremiah 31. "At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel. When I went to cause him to rest, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Ye have I loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with love and kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. O virgin daughter of Israel, thou shalt again be adorned with tabrets, and shall go forth in dances of them that make merry." I want to preach tonight on a thought. You can't change the past, but you can still write your future. I wrestled with this for a few days because I saw a young man, or a man. So familiar was he to me that I was spending my time trying to understand who he was. He looks like I ought to know. And then I realized he was the composite man. He was everybody. The thing about him was, is when I see this young man, he is climbing up the side of a mountain. He is clawing for life nearly. And he's making progress. And then I see him stop. And he's reaching around and beginning to tug at something. And when he does, it's taking him back down. And I watch this for a while. And I realize what this young man is pulling along behind him is his past. I want to tell you tonight, and you stay with me till we go, sire. The past has been lived. You cannot go back over it again. You cannot somehow find a rewind and bring it back to a certain point and start over anew. All the powers of omnipotence cannot put you where you were at yesterday. All the events and the incidents and the opportunities are gone. Oh, if we could only go back, how different the record would read. You know, they tell me that every minute of every day in the world over, somebody tries to commit suicide. And by and large, it is because of something in the memory. Trying to escape something in their past. But the sad thing is, my brother, that every successful suicide opens his eyes in hell and realizes the thing he was escaping and running from is there. For the memory of life is there living like a tormenting worm in hell. I talked to a young man and he sat across my desk. I knew his life. He told me, he said, I'm finding this urge to just disappear in the crowd. Go where nobody knows me. Get on the train and ride it to the end of the tracks. And maybe I can start over. And I looked at him, Brother David, and I said, sir, when you step down off that train, the first person you're going to see is you. Amen. You can't outrun your past. You can't change the past. Oh, what is done is done. Man has never invented a cement, a device that could mend a broken vow. No matter how sorry you are, you cannot go back and undo the act nor amend the sin with a river of tears. You can't change the past. They came to Pilate and said, don't say this, but say this. But Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. Amen. And I begin to realize, and as you know, amen, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a pastor anymore, but I am a revivalist. Amen. It is my desire and my burden, amen, to find where you are as a child of God, wounded and weary and hurt and sometimes bitter, and stand beside you and help you to understand where you are and what's going on. I look at all of this and I think, my God, is that it? Is there then no hope? Is there no balm in Gilead? Amen. Is there no chance of getting away from yesterday? Listen, if I could, I'd change my life. I heard the pastor say, I wish that I got saved then. I wish that I stayed saved when I was 12 years old. For the brightest day the sun shines in the hour that I'm still living in. Amen. A shadow
shadow will come out of yesterday and a voice will thunder with an accusation from that time. Ah, listen to me, children. While you're in the house of God, while you don't have those scars, amen, be careful. Don't be flippant in what you're doing or the decisions you are making, for they'll haunt you for the rest of your life. But I come tonight with another message. I come with this message tonight. I have come here, amen, to preach to somebody, amen, somebody that you have found your life overwhelmed by the past failures. And I come to tell you, I don't care, amen, about your past history. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. Amen, I don't care, amen, the shame of yesterday's sin and past failures. I've come to tell you tonight, amen, that Jesus Christ, amen, has come into this place tonight to do business with somebody. Amen, you pull that thing long enough. Could I tell you that bitter memories, amen, is the very ground that brings that root of bitterness whereby many are defiled. You've struggled with all your life. You've fought all your life. You're up and you're down because of things that were beyond your circumstances. Things that happened in your life that you wish never had happened. Things that at times that haunt you and torment you. Every alcoholic tonight, if you dug down to the root of that, it's not the taste of the liquor. It's not the effect. It's the something down on the psychological inside of them. It's the thing that makes the addict, amen, a dope addict and so hard to break because he's looking for a feeling. Ah, could I tell you tonight, amen, I've come to you with an antidote, amen, for the past. You can't change the past, but you can rewrite the future. Amen. And your story, my young man, can end in glory. Oh, hallelujah. David, running from Saul, came to the cave called Adullam. There in that place, men began to gather to him, about 400 in number at one time. They gathered to him. They were the misfits. They were the overwhelmed. They were the discontent. They were the debtors that could pay not pay their debt. I don't know about you, but I owed a debt I could not pay. Amen. But they came to David there, and David took that bunch of misfits, that bunch of failures, that bunch of men. Amen. And they gave him their allegiance, and he turned them into the mightiest light Calvary that the world had ever known. Amen. I want you to understand tonight, amen, when they made David their captain, amen, he turned things around. You can't change what's already happened, but thank God you can change the ending tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. You can begin to write the final chapter to the story of your life and all the tragedy and all the heartache and all the hurt of all the years and all the bitterness and all the tears. Amen. Can now be summed up and put aside with the last chapter. For our captain didn't go to a cave, but he went to a cross. Hallelujah. On a hill called Calvary. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. He said, bring the misfit. Amen. Bring the loser. Bring the downtrodden. Bring the outcast. Amen. Church, in the hour we're living in, we're going to have to deal with folks that are carrying a lot of baggage of life along the way. Oh, yeah. I may lose you, and I may have never had you, but I'm going to tell you something. My life, I believe in restoration. Don't you tell me that you've sinned beyond your day of grace. Amen. Don't you tell me that the blood of Jesus Christ is not more powerful than the addiction that's got you bound. In our desire, amen, to build up our guardrails. Amen. We've put more emphasis on the guardrail than we have on the road before us. I don't want to cross you right here. And I agree, it's the most vile, unnatural, ungodly act. It's the most ungodly thing that could happen. The perversion of homosexuality, amen, is one of the most damnable things in the world. But I've heard men get up and say, once you're there, there's no hope for you. Amen, I'm going to tell you something. I beg to differ with you. For yonder in another state, a man over 6 foot tall, amen, probably 225 pounds, walked into a prayer line one night, down, looked down at me and said, "Preacher, you think God could change an old homosexual like me?" I looked him in the eye and I said, "My friend, he's the only one that can. And if you're sick of the lifestyle you're living, amen, there is a power, amen, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that can set you free." Amen. I reached back and got a big old bottle of oil. Amen. I tried to climb up in his front pockets and poured it over his head. Amen. I began to call on God. We began to pray. God knocked him on the floor like he was a fly. Amen. He laid there, amen, twisting and jerking. Amen. Unclean spirits crying with loud voices coming out of him. But when he got up on his feet, he was a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can't change your past, but you can rewrite the future. Years went by, and I was in that part of the country again, and I asked a preacher that knew the situation. I said, "Whatever happened to..." He said, "Oh, son," said, "he married a girl down here in this next county. Said they've got two or three little children. Said he's a Sunday school teacher. Nobody knows about what happened." Brother Charles, I was reading not long ago. I don't know why I was reading it in the news, but they're talking about exploration of space and time. And the commentator had said, there is no place upon the face of the earth, upon the face of the earth that we cannot or have not went. He said, we are now in the process of moving beyond all expectation in space exploration. And he said, I don't expect us to stop, amen, until the end. But then he said this, but there is a depth in the ocean that we've never had a laser to penetrate the darkness. We've never had a bale we could drop down that can stand the pressure. There are things down there ever so often, something prehistoric looking washes up on them and reminds us there's something down there that we've never seen. Well, when I read that, I sat there a minute and thought about it. I kicked back from the desk and done a little shouting. You know why? Because I heard where he said he took my sins and cast them into the depth of the sea. Hallelujah. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. What can change your... Hallelujah. What can change your past? Amen. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on this altar tonight. I've said it many of a time. My wife's never asked. She's never asked. I'd been saved as pastor before she ever met me. And she's never asked about those years. And I've said this, you can start from the day September the 3rd, 1970. And you can start down my track. I don't care. Oh yeah. You'll find where I stumbled. You'll find where I got to running too fast and had to back up. Crawl back to an altar, took off again. But for not for all the money in this world would I have you go beyond the cross. They still didn't breathe on me. Let me tell you something. You better leave it alone. You hear me? You better leave it alone. God, if God has taken care of it, amen, you're fishing in a place where the game warden's going to get you. You ain't got no business digging up something on somebody that happened 20 years ago. You don't know what's happened. I feel a cold breeze on that, but I'll come down where you're at and we'll talk about it tonight. Amen. I believe, amen, that salvation is complete. Amen. I believe it changes a man from the inside out. But I told you all that. Amen. I'll tell you this. Shortly after I got called to preach, I stopped in Ohio at my sister's house. Amen. They didn't want to come see me until I got, after I got saved. They said, here's your keys to my house. I went in. I'd been praying. I'd been wrestling with preaching. I was there in that living room all alone. Put a big old LP on the and was listening. And all of a sudden, the devil stepped into the room where I was at. And he started telling me, said, you think you could preach? Said, you think if men knew where you come from and what you've done? And he began to list to me. And I'm sorry to tell you, I can't tell you what's happened sometimes. I don't know. On those weekends when we're blackout, I can't tell you what happened. I can tell you, I can't tell you whose fault it is or who was to blame. When the lights went out, who done what? And so I was sitting there thinking, getting lower and lower and lower. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost said, he's talking about John Gabbard. I said, yes, sir. He said, tell him that we took him out above Mimasburg and buried him a few days ago. Tell him that we took that old boy out there and put him down in a watery grave and left him down there. And that which came up was a new man. Amen. Created in righteousness after Christ Jesus. All things had passed away. All things had become new. Amen. I was, oh hallelujah, I was new in him. And I got up shouting glory. Amen. Thank God. Our text said they found grace in the wilderness. I'm glad for the grace of God. And I want you to know where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Peter, thou art, but thou shalt be. Brother John, years ago at the Richlands Camp Meeting, I was preaching the day services there in the room upstairs at Brother Ralph's. I'd wrestled all through the night. Didn't have nothing. I mean, it seemed like there wasn't nothing in that book. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I drifted off to sleep. And right outside of my window, a little old dog began to bark. And yuck, 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 yuck. Woke me up, and I thought, you probably ain't worth 15 cents. You probably ain't nothing but a biscuit eater. And all of a sudden, I had a title for a message. And I said, bark on, little dog. And I went to church that morning, and I preached on a message I entitled, The Biscuit Eater. Because I had remembered a story as I laid there that I had read as a boy. I'd remembered a story of a sharecropper that was raising bird dogs for the master. Amen. And he'd come over to the kennel one day where a litter of pups was born, and this one little runt, he kicked it to the side, and he said, do something with that. And it probably would never be nothing but a biscuit eater. But that little boy had followed his daddy into that kennel. And so when he got a chance, he stole that little puppy away. He took him out and hid him out. He stole and done without his own food and carried food to that puppy and growed it up. And he'd pet it and say, you ain't no biscuit eater. There's royal blood in your veins. You ain't a biscuit eater. Your daddy's a champion. Your daddy's a champion. Long story short, he raised that puppy up, trained it to point, and beat the world champion out there in the field. And the old man said, make that boy my trainer from now on. Amen. I find something in him. You know what? He just loved that puppy. Amen. Until that puppy would do anything for him. Years went by, and Brother Mike Maxson Jr. had a roofing crew. They're out yonder in Texas roofing a house or a building. And this long-haired, dirty fella come walking along and Said, hey, mister, said, I'm down on my luck. Said, I sure could use a job. And he said, now, son, he looked him over, of course. You know, he said, now, we're Christians. Everybody on this job is Christians. Said, we're wholeness people. Said, our music is wholeness people. Our singing, our preaching. Said, occasionally we'll pray preaching tapes while we're working. He said, that don't bother me. He said, I know a little bit about roofing. Just give me a chance. And so he climbed up on that roof and went to work with them boys. I don't know how long it was. But one day, he stopped Brother Mikey and he said, Mikey was playing from Richlands Camp Meeting, the Biscuit Eater. That boy said, is that right? Can you really be changed like that? Can you go from volatile to... And then all of a sudden, Mikey said, I realized he's under conviction. And so I told him, yes, sir, I know the man that's preaching that, and I know the man he's preaching about. They came down off that place. They got around him. They prayed him through to a born-again experience. He really, really got saved. He got saved. He got so happy. He loved living for God. And he went on. I mean, he was just prospering and growing. Amen. And just taking to wholeness like a duck takes to water. One day after a certain length of time, he came in to, he said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. He said, okay. He said, I know I'm saved. And so I've never felt anything like it. He said, but the Lord dealt with me in prayer that I had to talk about something. I've got a past that he told me until I got past, I'd never, ever be able to do anything else. But if I'd be willing to take the consequences, he said, what is it, buddy? He said, it's a cold case in Texas. He said, there's no way to ever link me to it. But he said, the sad fact is I'm a murderer. I killed a person. They went with him. He turned himself in. As far as I know, the last time I talked to Brother Mikey, he was still in prison. But in prison, he started a Bible ministry. He started a Bible study. He's had I don't know how many people converted. And he's preaching the gospel there. Amen. You can't change your past. But you, amen, can rewrite the future. Levi, you're cruel. And as your father, I disinherit you. I leave you no portion among your brethren. I'll cast you among them because of the cruelness and the sin of what you were. That's the curse that the patriarch placed on his own son. But if you want to find a lesson in grace, so I felt the Lord breathe on me. If you want to find a lesson in grace, you study the life of Levi. From the least to the greatest. From the disinherited. From the cursed to the blessed. From the least. To the priest. Glory. Look at Paul. From persecutor to preacher. From the chief of sinners is what he said. The chief of sinners now becomes the chief of the apostles. Hallelujah. I come to tell you tonight, the reason you can't get past that, the reason you're no longer than you are, I feel God, is that you've never, ever, ever laid it on the altar. But I come to tell you tonight, church, I need to pray in church right now. I come to tell you right now, hurts, bitterness, things that you, oh, I feel God. Things that you say, you've prayed it over and over again, and you know what's been done. And then a word brings it back. I come to tell you tonight that the Holy Ghost told me in that little motel room this evening, said, I'll lay a clean sheet on the altar for every man and woman that dares to come tonight and say, Lord, this has been in my life way too long. You come to church and there's a smile on your face. There's a hurt that you buried deep long ago. But God said, you ain't going any further. I know you don't like this kind of preaching. And I told Ann today, I said, I don't understand where I fit in this hour with all these great preachers and all they're saying. But I got to talk to you. Behind that smile sometimes is a heart that's breaking. Because you've never brought it to the light and dealt with it. Amen. You think it's over, and then it fires up again. But I tell it like the Holy Ghost told me, I'll lay a clean sheet on the altar tonight for every man, woman, boy, and girl that wants to do it. And I'll put the pen in their hand, and they can write the end, the last chapter of the book. Can be the greatest. Oh, halakoriti lebo sandala bakaya. Never again will it have the power. What did he say? He said, again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. Aren't you glad he's the God of the second chance? I'll build it again. I don't care if you kicked it down brick by brick. Years ago, God showed me that every man had a cup of mercy. And you was the only one that could pour it out. I might quit you. I might give up on you. The pastor might shake his head and say, there's no hope. But as long as there's one drop of mercy in that cup, I have seen God take the last drop. Oh, great God of heaven. I've seen him take that last drop and turn into a Niagara of blessing. Amen. That reach out past the progeny of his life into many, many others. Amen. Because of that one thing. There's a pen tonight. Your story can end in glory. Forgetting those things that are behind, looking forward to those things that are before. Amen. I'm pressing toward the mark. Amen. That'll, you hear me, it'll never have the power that on you again. Amen. You don't have to tell me nothing. You don't have to tell anybody else anything. All you got to do is tell the Lord. All you got to do is tell the Lord. Amen. Oh, that arrow will flower through there. And I'll say truth, but it's under the blood. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. One more thing, as somebody comes to the piano. God, I heard what you said. I've tried it too many times. I've already, God don't keep score. Did you hear me? God don't keep score. You may say, I've tried 10 times. God don't see that. Oh, I feel God. I'm moving right. When you come to the altar tonight, it's all brand new. The first time. Just like it never happened. Amen. You can get past it. You can use the past as Paul did. I think every time Paul thought about it, he filled his writings with it. I done this and I done that. But every time it got to eating on him, he just went out and founded another church. He just went out somewhere and evangelized another heathen nation. Amen. He just wrote down another book. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. What about it tonight? You go, glory to God. I felt the Lord touch somebody right then. I felt the Holy Ghost come right back to this section right here. Amen. God just moved. Amen. Come on, let's come around these altars tonight. Let's stand. Amen. And bring this baggage for the last time. We're coming to an altar for the last time.